Welcome to Tapeworm Transmissions. Your host, Nolan Sinnott. Today's guest is Jeremy Olson of Blue Future. Welcome to Tapeworm Transmissions.
Biker gang vests.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Should get the biker gang vests. I have one. Not a leather one, but it's like...
Yeah, the jean. Just a jean one.
Yeah. It's like jean, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they mostly are. They're mostly jean anyway. Yeah, well...
That's that.
That's that.
So all right. Here we are.
Oh, are we here?
We're here.
Fucking
shit. We're back. We're back in the lab.
Round two.
Tapeworm Transmission, volume 14. Jeremy Olson, Blue Future, in the lab with us. We're doing it. Or not with us, just with me. Because it's just me. I don't have a producer. Just want to give Jeremy a shout out. Coming on here, thank you so much. He's a good friend of mine, my brother. He has been doing this bass music for a long time, and he's part of the Chicago bass music scene.
Yeah, I guess that's a thing. Well, it was a thing until everything stopped being a thing, but it will be a thing again soon.
Sorry for my terrible introduction.
Nah, it's all right.
But I think people get the point.
Yeah, they'll get the point.
Chicago bass music.
Pretty much literally everyone that listens to this is going to know us, so they'll figure it out.
There's some people in, like,
cheers.
In France that have been listening.
Oh, I fucking love the French.
Yeah, I think it's because of my last name.
Well, today we're going to be covering a variety of topics, most likely ranging everywhere from the Battle of the Alamo to solar flares, to the migratory patterns of the Alaskan salmon. So,
yeah.
All the way into self-releasing music and the importance of vitamin D.
I want to start with alien abductions.
Yeah. I'm not sure how... Well, I know what you're saying with that guy. You know, it's like his story may or may not be real, but I feel like it's whether that one guy's story is real, it's kind of like irrelevant because there's just so much going on at this point that it's just like
right.
There's definitely some validity, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't want to diss just because his story seems hokey, and maybe not even like I feel like maybe okay. Even if his story was real, I feel like he was adding a lot to other. But yeah, regardless, it definitely it's definitely weird, you know. Like, what the fuck is out there, and what are they doing?
It makes sense that the way that guy was putting it is that he doesn't think they're, you know, super malicious. And that did strike me as making sense because obviously these fuckers got some badass technology. And, you know, if they wanted to be doing, you know, like say if they were like attacking us or just something crazy going on, like it'd be bad. You know, it wouldn't just be these little, like, oh, I saw something over there. Oh, what's that flying out of the water? It would be like, our shit would be getting royally fucked up, you know, like,
yeah.
Very easily. So, yeah, makes sense. They're probably not, you know, super evil or, you know, planning to invade or take over or something. They're probably just checking us out, you know. I'd check us out. I'd be like, yo, what's going on down there? I'm going to fly by and visit every now and then, you know. I mean, they got to be there. There's just too many.
Too many things out there.
Too goddamn many planets. Like, even the most reputable people are now saying, like, yeah, they just got to be, like, they got to be out there. I think the only people that are adamant against it would just, like, be weird religious people now, you know, really.
Yeah.
Everyone else is pretty open to it.
Yeah, what is the COVID relief package has something about UFOs in it?
Yeah. Because you have to tack on, you know, things to everything. So there's probably UFOs in there.
Yeah. Which, I mean... It's not above the strangeness that's already I don't know what word I'm looking for, but has happened, endured over this last year.
If anything, it would make things make more sense. Like, come on, just give us that. At
right.
least.
Just
like,
give just us give that.
Just fucking give it to us already.
Just one and that $1,400.
Yeah, I got it. $1,600 we're waiting on. Or another. No, we're waiting on $1,400, right?
I think it's
$1,400. Yeah, those fuckers never going to give it to us. I want that, though.
Yeah.
Pay for my part of my studio.
Yeah, it's weird out there.
Yeah, but what you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Try to get abducted by aliens.
God, I wish. I've never even seen a fucking UFO. Like, I wish. It would just be such a great, like, thing you could say that you've done. Like, yeah, I saw one, man. It'd be just so interesting, but...
Imagine to say that you got abducted by one.
Yeah, seriously. It's like you... But I'm sure it would never happen to someone that just, like, wants that to happen because, you know, it's kind of not how that works.
Nah.
You know, it's like, because it would be like giving you too easy of a story to tell for forever, you know?
Yeah. No, so I know exactly what you mean. It's got to happen to, like, a Republican.
Oh, God, I wish.
Donald Trump. Donald Trump got it. He's like, I was being controlled by aliens the past...
It's the whole time.
The whole time.
Fucking lizard people.
What do you think people would do if you said that?
Well, some of them would be really into it. Other people would be really not into it. And then I'd be kind of indifferent. I'd be like, well, that kind of makes sense. You're all obviously reptilian anyway. So, really, this is not a stretch.
I could see that. It would also make more sense if he was.
It really would. I mean, it would make more sense. Like, I mean, at this point, any of the more bizarre things that easily explain how crazy things are would make more sense. You know, it's just, I'd rather chalk it up to like reptilians or aliens or like literally anything else than just pure incompetence on every level.
Yeah, it's for our reptilian overlords, right? But you know, we get to make music.
Yeah, thank God.
Do a podcast.
Yeah,
a couple times a month.
Thank God we have music, man. It's been, even though it's been gone, it's been still getting me through, you know, just because it just gives you that sense of purpose, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you have something to do with your life.
Honestly, like, if I didn't have the band this whole time, this shit would suck.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, I don't know what I would have done, you know, with myself.
Yeah.
Gone fucking crazy.
And you know what I've been realizing lately is just, like, okay, obviously doing the music is, like, hard, and it's hard on us. You know, it's, like, one of the hardest things you could choose to do. You know, it's hard on us a lot of the time emotionally and whatever. But yeah, it's still better having a thing that you're about. Like, I've been, now that I'm trying to talk to new people and, like, newly single and shit and trying to, like, actually talk to other human beings, I just realized that, like, a lot of other people, they don't have any type of purpose in their life. I mean, literally, they're just, like, existing without any type of, like, goal or overarching purpose to their life. And it's, like, it's fucking weird that most people are just going through every day doing nothing but just, like, surviving without, like, directly working towards anything for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just super common. It's, like, most people. It's not even, like, half of people. It's, like, most people. You know, it's, like, it's weird.
It is pretty weird.
And, you know, it...
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, though.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to just be mean and say that, you know, it's you know, everyone that doesn't have something is, like, bad, you know, because a lot of people are just focused on surviving, you know, getting by is hard.
Ignorance is bliss.
And ignorance is bliss.
I don't know if it's necessarily ignorance, but...
But I feel like everyone would be happier if they had a purpose, you know, or at least more of a purpose or a good idea of what they were working towards overall besides just, oh, I'm working and you know, I'm just going to party a little bit on the weekend and just kind of, you know, just kind of very meaninglessly just float through. But I guess I was doing that for a long time too. I just didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't even sometimes, I mean, music can be tough, but yeah, it's definitely kept me going through all this.
Yeah. It is weird how hard it is though. It's the hardest thing you can choose to do. Like comparably, you know, maybe like being like a stand-up comic, would be pretty fucking hard too. It's the only like comparable, you know, we were talking before, it's kind of like the only comparable industry, yeah, where it's just, you have to work on it for so long and, you know, it's a long game, you know, you have to be ready for it to be a 10, 15 year, maybe 20 year endeavor until you start accomplishing the things you want to accomplish.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there's some bands in, what is the band that's here? Modern Day Romeos. Like, they make pretty decent money doing the cover band thing.
Yeah, I know. And I see people, too, that, I mean, it's hard for me to not be jealous of people that can just do it full time and don't have to have jobs and actually make money doing it. It's like, money's like never even, I don't even think about it because it just doesn't exist in the realm of things I do. I just assume there's going to be, you know, I just operate as if it's not even a thing because it's just, might as well not be.
Right.
And I always find it weird kind of when people start bringing it up because I'm like, you fucking, like, what money? What are you talking about? You make money?
Yeah, I always find it hard to like even ask for money on for things sometimes. Like, it's weird. Like, it just doesn't feel like natural to me. Like, I don't feel, I'm not a salesman, you know, and I'm now, and especially if I'm trying to sell myself, like, that's even harder. Like, I have so much self, like, such low confidence.
Selling yourself and promoting yourself. It's just, it's so hard and weird, you know, having to act like, this thing I did is just the fucking shit. You should listen to it. You know, it's like you have to do it, but it's weird and kind of gross that you have to do it. But if you don't do it, no one will care. So it's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And then there's just like hundreds of thousands of other people doing the same thing.
Right.
Or trying to do the same thing. And they're like, some people are just like way better. And it's like, and they're still not doing anything.
I know, right?
And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I feel that I'm just really not very good because I'll be listening to all this other stuff and it's just fucking phenomenal. I'm just like, son of a bitch. I'm like, I'm nowhere near that, but I guess everyone kind of feels like that sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I hate everything I do.
Yeah.
All of it. All of it.
Yeah, that's also a very common thing with artists, though, like that imposter syndrome, you know, where it's like you're pretty much always going to feel like you're kind of a fake, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, kind of.
You know, it's super common. It seems like that happens to, like,
I mean, the music, the genre that I'm in, like, I feel like I fit pretty well into it.
Yeah, but.
But I know what you're saying. Like, I just think about people that, like when you say that, like, people that are so hard into, like, their character, like Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson, like, having to have kept up with that, like, all these years, is that really just, like, who they are? Or they've been selling it this long, you know? Like, I don't know.
Either way, they're doing a good job with it.
Yeah, either way, they're doing a good job, but it's, like, it's really intense, you know, like, Does Marilyn Manson go, you know, despite all the allegations, does he go by Brian?
Yeah, I wonder if, like, in his day-to-day life, he's Marilyn Manson.
Like, do the people
or
just...
he's Brian.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, I don't know.
Like, Rob, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, is Rob's real name Rob? Is it Rob Zombie? Rob? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard when you're such a character at that point, you know, because it really is kind of a character that you've built for yourself, you know, like a... I don't know. I don't feel like I have a character. I'm just kind of like being me more so.
Yo,
Rob Zombie's name is Robert Bartla Cummings.
No fucking way.
Bartla.
Rob Zombie's name is Bartla Cummings. Jesus, let me see this. Robert Bartla Cummings? That's fucking preposterous. No wonder why he calls himself Rob Zombie. If he called himself Rob Cumming. Fuck, I don't know. He either would have done just as well, or better, or way worse. I don't know.
Been a porn star.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Horror movie porn?
God. That makes him way cooler.
Yeah.
What fucking nationality do you have to be to have the last name of Cummings? Like,
Whitney Cummings.
I know, there's multiple, like, people have the last name Seaman, Cummings. Like, there's all this jizz-related, there's all these jizz-related last names out there, and it's like, I mean, I guess I get it. It's a pretty important part of life, and...
Yeah, like, where did that name come from? Like, oh, yeah, get a load of this, get a load of Cummings over there.
Like, what the fuck? That's crazy. God, man.
Remember we knew someone in high school named Boner, too.
Yeah. We knew someone with the last name of Boner and someone with the last name of Seaman. And Boner and Seaman were dating each other. So.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that was really good. Actually, Seaman turned out to be a pretty cool guy. And now he's all right. So I got this thing, though, that's been fucking freaking me out, man.
All right, what is it?
Well, solar flares.
Oh, yeah.
It's serious. It's like...
Lay it on me.
It's not good. It's fucking terrifying.
Lay it on me.
Well,
I'm waiting.
It's like legitimately scary though, because it's almost destined to happen in our lifetime, which is what freaks me out. Yeah, pour me up another shot of that, please. I mean, I'm actually kind of freaking out about it because about every 100 years, Earth experiences a major solar flare hit. Or a mass coronal ejection, I think it's called. And it's... The common consensus with scientists is that it just happens about every 100 years, you know? It's very normal to happen. And the last time it happened... was in the 1850s, about. And... It, you know, wiped out all the telegraphs and the... meager amount of electronics that they did have at the time, but you're talking about the 1850s, the 1830s, you know, they basically didn't have anything that was electronic. Their entire infrastructure was based on not that. People were living in log cabins, there was steam engines, like, it basically affected nothing, you know. It did blow out all the telegram services and stuff like that around the world, and like even the telegram offices started on fire, you just burst into flames because it, like, traveled
Jesus
through the wires.
Christ, and when was this?
Like the 1850s, you know. But it wasn't a big deal to put the telegram shit back up. You know, it's... They didn't have a lot of electronics. It's basically only the telegram system that they have, maybe a couple other small things. But everything they did have just disintegrated and burst into flame.
That's fucking crazy.
But it really wasn't a big deal, you know? It's like... People weren't affected that much because people weren't using electricity. They didn't have refrigeration, so everyone's food was fine. Basically, it didn't affect life very much, except for people saw northern lights all across the world for like 2 weeks straight, you know.
That would have been pretty cool.
And they couldn't send telegraphs.
Was it really hot?
I don't know about that. I don't think so. It wasn't a super intense fire raining from the sky type of thing. It was just enough of the, I'm not a scientist, but enough of the solar waves like getting through where it burns out the electronics, right? I have heard theories of really intense ones happening thousands of years ago that are so bad that there's lightning raining from the sky and melting basically everything on the surface of the earth.
Zeus's.
But this was not that. This was just a normal solar storm that directly hit Earth, and I'm trying to think of the right word. Basically, not the atmosphere, but you know how the poles create like a magnetic field.
Yeah,
and that's what filters out that type of stuff, and that's why you can see northern lights, because that's the magnetic field filtering out that type of stuff, or it's reflecting off it or something. I don't really know how it works, but you know,
it's sciencey,
but that's what
I would love to see the northern lights one day.
Yeah, I know,
that'd be cool.
Well, we might be seeing them. And it's going to be bad.
North American lights.
So, this shit happened like 150 years ago. And like I said, it burnt out all the telegraphs and stuff. But it didn't really affect people that much. But if it happened today, which it's going to happen, because it happens about every 100 years. And it's already been 150 years since the last time it's happened. So, like, there's a high percentage that it's going to happen in our lifetime. And it's going to wipe out our entire electrical grid when it hits. Like, all of our electronics. I mean, all refrigeration, all air conditioning, all heat, everything. You know? I mean, it's going to be really bad. It's not like in 1850 when you're canning your food.
When is this projected to happen?
Well, there's not, like, a projected... Well, like I said, it happens about every 100 years, and it's been 150 years since the last time it happened, right? So it's like we're kind of due for one. And there's always coronal ejections coming off the sun. You know, it's just about every 100 years one hits Earth. And one hasn't hit us for 150 years. And we have just happened to, between then and now, developed electricity, you know, to run everything that we do. On our entire world.
What if the electricity is keeping it at bay? Like, I just imagine the sun's got a whip.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, the crazy thing is it looks like a whip when it comes off the sun. It's like a whip that flings off the sun, and you've probably seen pictures of it.
Oh, yeah.
Neil deGrasse.
Tyson.
But the fucked up part is, like, from the stuff I was seeing... Basically, like, within a year, we'd lose 90% of the population of Earth. Because everyone would starve. Like right off the bat, you're going to lose all your refrigeration and stuff. So, like, our entire food infrastructure is based on food coming over here and being in the grocery store and being in the refrigerator and you getting it. You know, it's like, all that's gone. You know, obviously, regular society and laws and civil stuff is just going to collapse because there's no electricity. There's no... Even things as basic as air conditioning, right? Imagine people in hot climates, dead. You know, any old people stuck in, anyone living in.
The Italians will do just fine.
Italians will probably be fine, but anyone living in skyscrapers and stuff, and old people, and you know anyone that's depending on an elevator to get down, or you know, dead or starving within how many weeks? All of our nuclear power plants. The nuclear rods are cooled by water, which is powered by electric pumps, which would all fail within 8 weeks. So, just on top of everything, you have all the nuclear power plants failing and exploding, and you have nuclear fallout from 400-plus nuclear power plants all around the world.
Well, I just hope that doesn't happen.
I was already seeing projections where, 90%. Of everyone dead within like the first year, because most people, they don't have any way to, most people can't fucking hunt and shit, you know? And even if you don't die right away,
killed an animal.
Right. Even if you don't die right away, what type of life are you living when society's completely collapsed overnight? You know, I mean, you could get real technical and just start thinking about all the ways that electronics are keeping you alive. you know, and it would be really bad. And it's just scary because it's insanely possible that it will happen within our lifetime. And so I've kind of, like, daily been thinking, like, thank God it didn't happen today. because it literally might happen in our fucking lifetime. Like, this is, there's lots of threats, right? Like, there's meteors, and there's all types of shit that could happen. Super volcanoes.
What kind of warning would we have? Do we have anything to measure it?
Well, they do watch the sun for these types of things. And I guess, weirdly enough, if I remember right, there was a large one that was like this level of one that missed us on 2012. It missed us by 2 weeks. Like, the Earth was going around the sun, and the solar storm was like 2 weeks behind where the Earth was in its orbit, you know, missed us by like 2 weeks. If you're like 2 weeks behind, it would have hit us on 2012.
I call that the gas leak year.
Yeah, the what?
The gas leak year. So there's a show called Community. There's 6 seasons, right? And Dan Harmon, he's the creator of Rick and Morty, he got fired from the show on like season 4 or something like that. And he came back for the 2 seasons afterwards for 5 and 6, but he wasn't on it for 4. And so they refer to that in season 5 and 6. They refer anything from season 4 as from the gas leak year, because nobody remembers anything. It's kind of like doesn't make any sense what happened that year.
God, I was thinking about solar storms. That kind of went over my head. I had a couple thoughts going on there at the same time.
That's all right.
Let's take a shot about it.
Let's take a shot about it.
I'm legitimately scared of this, dude. This is not. This is not cool. Like, I never thought a pandemic would fuck our shit up either. You know? So I'm just going to assume that solar storms are a possibility and operate under the daily assumption that I am lucky it has not happened yet. Because fucking shit. If we think not being able to go to the bar sucks, imagine losing all electronics!
How would you even make
And most people dying.
You wouldn't even be able to make music.
No! Wouldn't even be able to do the one thing. Well, I could pick acoustic guitar back up, but like, fuck, at that point I'm going to be surviving and, you know.
Sometimes acoustic guitar will help you get through the day.
Well, who knows, maybe you'd be valued and, you know, the
as a bard.
The group of roaming bandits that you joined would value you for your bard services.
You'd be a wasteland bard.
I'm legitimately thinking about playing more acoustic instruments now in case this happens so that I'll have some valuable skill to carry on into this post-apocalyptic solar flare future we very well could enter.
I'd like to learn how to read music. And
I would like to learn how to do math. That'd be good.
Do math.
That's something else I realized. I was like, you know, I'm not going to need to. I have computers. I have calculators. And I realized, fuck. Because I was thinking, because I'm a machinist. I use math all the time. But I have computers and calculators. And I was like, oh, we're always going to have these. That's fine. Fucking shit, we might not.
Yeah, what would you do? How would you find the tangent of anything?
I would have to, like, read a book. You know, if the book didn't get burned down, because most of our cities would be burnt down, too. It's like all the stuff failing, you know, it's like, you're not just talking about. It wouldn't just be this weird little.
What about
we don't have electronics now, and it's a goofy little thing. No, it's like everything would basically be up in flames because there'd be so many systems failing, and, like, all the major cities would burn down.
Would it destroy satellites?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would not only destroy the satellites, but the satellites would fall into the atmosphere and be raining on Earth like asteroids.
Would they? Or would they just stay where they're at?
What
would make them, what would make them move closer to Earth?
I don't know. That's one of the things I saw would happen. I can't tell you exactly why. I think they probably have systems on satellites that make them, like, adjust and stay in orbits. Otherwise, they would just kind of drift and fall into the gravitational pull of Earth, you know?
It may be a minute before they come.
Yeah, but that would just be, like, something we get to look forward to if you survive some of the other things,
Yo,
satellites raining down.
on a, another side note, space related. You did you see the spaceship launch with Tesla?
SpaceX. Which one? The one they did a while back?
Yeah.
The cool one?
The one that was
that we were supposed to watch together?
Yeah.
That we didn't watch together?
No, I don't think
we watched separately.
Yeah, we watched
with the guys in the Dragon capsule.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one's cool. It was a moment that should have just united humanity, and no one was watching because wasn't it like right after
it was like
George Floyd or something?
I feel like it was like in the midst of a lot of a crazy shit.
It was like, well, it was obviously in the midst of the pandemic, but I think George Floyd happened like right before that too, or something like that.
It made me cry.
Which one was it? There was so many different things.
I can't remember.
But something happened right before where everyone completely ignored this like awesome moment that should have united humanity and like a, oh, we're moving forward, progress, and no one. You know, no one cared because something terrible happened right before it or something.
March 7th.
So it was right at the beginning of COVID. That's what it was.
It was right at the beginning of COVID?
I think so. But I think right after that is when, like, it was like, yeah, we're launching people into space. And then I think the George Floyd stuff happened.
Because I do remember everyone joking, like, oh, good move getting out of here, guys, you know?
Yeah. Maybe that was, I don't know. It's all such a blur. But regardless.
Terrible blur.
The thing I brought that up with was how fucking crazy was it that they landed like the rockets in like the middle of the ocean?
Yeah, I love that shit. The way they can just come back down and land them now. It's so efficient. Should have been doing that all along.
They landed it like on a small launch platform in the middle of the fucking ocean.
It was so well done. It looks fake.
It looked like it was done in reverse.
Right.
Like, they just reversed someone lifting off. But it was just done so precisely, like, Jesus fucking Christ.
I just love that we have people doing that shit. I know people throw a lot of hate at, like, Elon Musk and some of these other people, but we fucking need these guys doing that type of stuff, man. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing anything. We're just supposed to be stagnant on Earth, not doing anything cool or trying to explore space, even. Like, we need to be pushing the move forward. I mean, how much technology and stuff was invented when we were going to the moon the first time? It's like half the shit we have now is invented during that time period, you know?
I just looked it up. The International Space Station is what they traveled to, and they could, so the International Space Station travels, like, they see the day and night multiple times, like, in like a day, you know, in a 24-hour period, because they're traveling so fast around the Earth. They're traveling 4.76 miles per second.
Yeah.
And so
I like that.
They saw the Dragon spaceship, like, coming around. And, like, so, like, as, like, the spaceship is coming, they're, like, going like this and coming back around and, like, meeting up again.
That's cool.
It's fucking crazy. Like, how could you fucking plan that going, like...
Thank God we have scientists.
Yeah, right. How do you plan that going that fast? Like, 4.76 miles per second?
And we couldn't do any of that without electronics.
No. With the International Space, well, the International Space Station would come crashing down too.
Yeah, everything. Dude, like, most of us would die. It's fucking terrifying. It's fucking terrifying. It really is. And when I was getting really deep in it, I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is really, it's like one of the most possible things to happen because it's kind of inevitable because it does happen periodically. And the fucked up thing is they could prevent it because they could put redundant systems in place in the power grid to make them not as susceptible. But have they done anything? No, they haven't done jack shit.
No, we have a pretty old electric system line.
Like, all the major transformer stations would literally just fucking explode. Like, right off the bat. And each one of those things takes, like, 2 years to make. And they don't have any backups. Like, the only ones they have, they're using. There's no backups. They take, like, 2 years to make with power, with electricity.
That's fucking crazy.
You know? It just goes on and on and on with stuff like that. And this has been brought up to, like, the government and stuff before. They were considering it when they first thought about terrorists. You know, they had this idea that terrorists could get a hold of nukes and launch them into the atmosphere and blow them up and cause a similar thing. But, you know, after a while it became pretty obvious, like, terrorists probably aren't going to do that. you know, and so they just kind of glazed over it, never did anything about it, but they thought about it for a while, and there is things they can do. There's redundant systems they can put in place to keep everybody from dying in case something like this happens, but they haven't done shit. And most power companies are like private companies. You know, it's not like the government running all the power.
ComEd. It's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, and it's like a private company sure as hell isn't going to put in like these redundant systems to like just in case something like that happens. They're just, you know, they're operating on a whatever percent, you know, profit margin. They're just trying to get by, you know.
Yeah, they're just running a business.
Right, they're just running a business. They're not putting in redundant systems to protect humanity from solar flares.
Yeah. That is pretty fucking crazy. I mean, I don't know.
The craziest thing about it is that it just, they know that it happens about every 100 years, and it's been 150 years since the last time it happened. It's just, that's the most fucked thing. I mean, like I said, there's all these things, like, there's asteroids that could hit Earth, there's all these things that could happen, super volcanoes, and, you know, but the time periods are usually pretty, oh, this happens once every 1,000 whatever years, and it seems not close to home. You know, it doesn't quite hit you like it's a direct threat. Maybe the asteroid thing would be, like, the most viable one besides it, because that could kind of happen at any point. This one's every 100 years or so. That's only a couple people. That's every couple people.
I've been reading this comic book where there's these giant dead bodies floating in space, and like normal people like us are in like spaceships harvesting their meat to like feed to the poor. And there's like these two people, they're outside of their ships and they're like gun to gun, normal people, and an asteroid comes in and just like blows one of their brains out.
Oh fuck. Space debris. That shit's crazy too.
Just moving how fast it moves.
Yeah. And the way that it can just blow through a plate of steel like nothing, you know, like high caliber bullet, just this little teeny flake of shit. Just bam.
I mean, you could be traveling like hundreds of thousands of miles an hour.
Yeah, that shit's crazy. Like, I don't know how more astronauts and stuff haven't just gotten killed by space debris. Honestly. That's incredible.
Have you ever seen the movie Gravity? I think we did watch that. It was with Sandra Bullock.
I think so. It was a while ago. We were probably really high.
Yeah. I think we watched it in 3D, too. We had to have been really high.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that movie and this other movie, Midnight Sky, they both, like this chick gets some, like, there's some space debris, like, they go off path, and some space debris and, like, comets or whatever, like, start attacking their spaceship, and they all manage to make it, but this girl got, like, a small, like, wound, like, in her body, like, outside, and so when she came inside, all of, like, the vacuum, like, sucked all the blood out.
Yep.
And killed her.
That'll happen. Fucking space debris. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I never thought about, like, having, like, an injury outside of, like, space and then having to go through the vacuum.
Yeah, I haven't thought of that specifically. I just think of the stuff traveling so fast that it'll penetrate steel plates, even, like, a small marble-sized thing. It'll be, like, a high-caliber bullet just...
So I never thought about that, and I looked it up, and nobody's been injured in space, like, with, like,
just incredible.
Which is incredible, so nobody's needed to have any surgery or anything like that. And the other thing is, I don't think anybody's had sex in space, and I don't know if they're allowed to masturbate up there. They don't talk about it. They don't let us know.
Fuck.
Because,
that's
like...
That's crazy.
Like, when they pee, they have to, I think they have to have it, like, hook up their shit to something. I don't know.
But yeah, right, because it,
yeah, I don't know.
Fuck.
And they also drink their own pee. They have a very crazy filtration system that their piss,
for like one go through, they'll drink it, like people surviving in the desert.
No, like that's like their constant supply of water.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Is it their pee goes through this filter and it comes back and they drink it. They have like emergency reservoir, but they're using, like, their piss water.
Jesus fucking Christ. See, this is the stuff they don't tell you about being an astronaut. They make it seem all glamorous. Not, you're drinking piss, not fucking.
But
you
it's like...
You jack off.
It's a crazy filtration. Yeah, I don't know about the jacking off, and I really want to know if they've, like...
You definitely can't. You're drinking your own piss for fluids. You can't jack off. Precious jizz fluids.
I'd like to, say.
What if you're jizzing in someone's mouth? Then it gets used. You're good. You should bring this up in NASA.
Yeah.
Have they thought of this?
I think they have. I'm sure they have.
I've never heard them talking about it.
Well, because it's like, you know. But I'm pretty sure I looked.
What if they're all jizzing each other's mouths?
I bet it's like prison up there. You know, it's probably the top scientist dog.
Yeah, but it's probably better than prison. I mean, they're probably having a lot of fun. Like, if it's like that, it's probably a good time. Zero gravity. Everyone's giving blowjobs. You know.
NASA says no humans have had sex in space, and there's nothing other than speculation to suggest otherwise. Sex in space is serious.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's probably. Fuck, man. I don't know. That might be possible because astronauts are pretty serious. Those are pretty serious motherfuckers. Like, but I don't know. Nobody? Like, not even once? Okay, I'm calling bullshit. You got, like, Russians and all kinds of crazy people up there. For sure somebody has, for sure. Has to happen at least once.
Yeah, well, according to NASA, is an American. No American.
Yeah.
No Americans have had sex in space. Russians are
probably way ahead of us.
They're banging aliens.
Oh, God, yeah, definitely.
They're banging aliens. They're, you know, they're probably helping them abduct Travis Walton, you know, all this, like, weird shit. They're working with them in Arizona. Got the Russian space station in Arizona. But they do say that they have had other species. It says at least 5 species from amoebas to rats have gone through.
Amoebas have sex?
The act of reproduction. They're testing the reproduction possibilities.
Sexual space amoebas?
And they're saying that due to radiation, it's not safe.
It's not safe to fuck in space because of radiation.
I gotta look up Matt.
Your whole body's up there. You can't take your dick out?
Well, I think they're talking about reproduction.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, look, I don't want to have a kid on Earth. Like, I don't want to have, like, I wouldn't have a kid in the space station. That would suck ass. Look at that little fucker floating around. Having to change zero gravity shitty diarrhea diapers. Little particles floating everywhere.
Little shit piss particles.
Fucking horrible.
Let's see. Astronaut masturbation.
That's a good song name.
Can astronauts masturbate in space? Vice. Okay.
Oh, thank God. Vice. Thank you.
SpaceX might come with some significant logistics. It'd also be pretty hard to fuck in space.
Logistically hard to fuck in
space?
Yeah,
like how would you do
fuck it? Logistics.
Like, you probably
space fuck logistics.
SpaceX is the first
covering
private
company. Covering everything from space fuck logistics to.
It would be hard to fuck, though. Like, have you ever tried to fuck on, like, a foam bed?
Like, memory foam?
Mm-hmm.
Must have at some point. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had a memory foam bed. But, I mean, you can get her done. Can't be that fucking difficult. God, this is so.
They're just beating around the topic.
Yeah.
Get it? They're beating around the bush here.
Come on. Why can't these guys give us a straight answer? Can you fuck in space or not? What's going on? This is kind of important. If the entire future of the human species depends on things like space travel and space exploration, we have to know if we can fuck in space. I mean.
Yeah, the Russians are masturbating out there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they encourage him to pack an inflatable sex doll.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're blowing loads out there.
I told you.
There's a couple of Russian space loads out there.
Oh, God. There's probably whole clouds of Russian space seamen just floating around. They have to dodge when they plan on going on missions.
But, yeah, they were trying to say some shit where you can't get an erection in space.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it sounds like a bunch of fucking malarkey.
Bunch of bullshit. Well, I need to go to the bathroom real quick. Let's do a pause. Do it at the end. And we're back. All right, let's take another shot. Let's go.
I'll pour us up.
Pour us up.
You still, what is that?
Oh, shit. Hold on. You need to do your other. Sorry.
You didn't even understand. You know what I'm saying? All right, well, I think now's a good time as any to bring up the Alamo.
God.
I don't know anything about it.
I learned a lot about it since last time, actually.
You did your homework. I did not do my homework.
I've been studying the Alamo for days, actually.
We should have watched that Remember the Alamo movie.
Yeah. I don't think I've watched... I didn't watch that movie, but I was like... I was learning some actual things. And I feel more knowledgeable because of it.
Before we get into the Alamo, do you know anything about all this crazy stock shit going on?
Almost nothing.
So, I understand, like, zero.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to sound even dumber if we try to talk about
it. Yeah, let's not talk about it. Let's talk about the Alamo.
Yeah. I know more about the Alamo than I do the stock market.
Yeah, we'll do that, because someone that'd be on the show will be able to explain it to me. But if you don't feel confident, we'll talk about the Alamo.
We'll have to look this up for. I don't understand the stock market in general. It's all just kind of fake and doesn't make sense. It's not based on the actual economy. It's not,
it's all digital
and weird.
You got hedge funds. You know what does Sonic have to do with any of this?
I don't get it. I don't get it.
What does a hedgehog have to do with any of this?
I don't know. Cheers to the Alamo.
I don't know. Should you cheers the Alamo? Is that something that we cheers?
Yeah, we won it. Right. No, we lost it.
Oh.
Well, Texas is pretty cool. So Texas won overall. So Texas, yeah.
All right, Texas. That's where everyone is moving to right now.
Yeah.
Joe started a wave.
He did. I'm thinking about it. One day, maybe. Sounds cool down there.
I still want to go to...
Get tigers and guns. It'd be great.
I still want to go to Portland.
Yeah. Seems like... I mean, I hear good things about Portland, too. It's, like, super... It's, like, liberal and hippie and rainy and... You know, it's probably pretty cool.
You should help me open up a luthier shop.
A what?
Luthier shop.
What's that?
It's like a guitar repair and making. You need another guy?
Yep, need more beers.
So not to derail off of the Alamo topic.
Oh, no, it's there. It's fine.
But just to bring up really quick, I don't know. I've been following a lot of different luthiers and their, you know, guitar builders and repairers.
So a guitar...
Music, and like wooden music instrument, stringed instrument, so they can make violins and...
Oh, so that's what... Like a tradesman who makes stringed instruments for his living is called a luthier?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I figured he'd just be a guitar maker.
Nope. It's a luthier.
That sounds way cooler. Could you be like is there like a guild you can join?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
There's actually Japato's...
Journeyman luthier.
A Japato's guild. Well, I don't know if it's a real guild, not being in the industry, not knowing exactly, but...
It's not enough guilds for things.
I follow them on Instagram, and a lot of, like, almost all the guitar makers that I follow are, like, are on there. But it also, like, I don't know, I love guitars. Having worked in a machine shop and being, like, a handsy person, you know, my whole life.
Real handsy.
It's super cool to do that, but I'm not getting it out. Oh, there we go. My left ear wasn't working for a second there. But I think it'd be super cool to do that, and I just...
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Like, I thought about doing luthier school, like, before all of this started, the pandemic started happening,
mm-hmm.
And it made it really hard to do that, because you can't really, like... I need a place to like learn it. I don't want to invest like my money in like all these tools and be a total failure and waste all my money on these tools, you know. I gotta like apprentice somewhere. I gotta like learn like the trade from someone, then like apprentice somewhere. Hmm. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's a little bit different than the machining industry because there's not like a constant flow of work. You know, it's a very specialized thing. So you gotta like
super specialized.
You gotta like really learn it to be able to have like your foot to make the money.
And again, you're competing with China and everywhere else that, you know.
Well, no, I mean. The difference between that is because there's some people that need to have luthier work done here, you know? Say you have, like, your grandfather's guitar, and it plays like shit, but you want to bring it back into shape.
Okay, yes, but I meant in the way of, like, there's just not large-scale manufacturing of, like, guitars and things where it would be an easily accessible thing. Oh, there is a Gibson factory down the street. Like, all.
Yeah, no, it's definitely different in that aspect for sure.
Yeah.
So, but it would be, like, you would do a lot of repair work, would probably be, like, your majority of your sales. Well, I mean, it just depends on how you want to market yourself. Like,
or custom.
See some, like, there's some really badass, like, custom guitar, like, American guitar makers that, like, you know, that I would probably never buy, like, a Gibson or anything again. I would rather go with one of these smaller shop guys.
Right.
Who making, like,
right.
way cooler guitars than Gibson are. You know, than the standard Les Paul SG thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got a good point. Like, if I was going to buy, especially a new guitar, I think the main guitar I have now is just an old pawn shop buy. But
which, that's still
those
a pretty...
Those are good, too. You know, it's a good bluesy element to it.
It's
you know?
A good guitar. The ES-355 copy.
The
the red one, right? The big red one?
Well, I got... That one was... I bought that from...
Weavers.
Weavers. Poor Weavers. Rest in peace.
Yeah, now it's a furniture shop going out of business.
Yeah. But I bought another, like, kind of Strat guitar,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm talking about, yeah.
That is from, that actually has nice action on it. But that was just a pawn shop from our pawn shop right there that's actually gone now, too, somehow. I don't know how a pawn shop goes out of business, but.
It moved.
Oh, wait, what? Where?
It's by Kitakata Ramen. Remember that ramen place that we went to the one time?
No, that was a different Cash Converters. That was always there.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, I just wish our cash cow was back. That was a good pawn shop.
But you should bring that ES-335 copy over here one day. I want to doom out with it.
Yeah,
the big red one. Set it back up.
Yeah,
get it back into.
It's got a crack in it, in the wood.
Really?
Yeah, kind of by the jack.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's fine.
The damages happen to guitars.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, they're not cars.
They're not.
You know, you can easily put in a couple. You can spend cracks and shit like whatever in the finish. That's just character. You know, I used to get really upset about them. And there's some guitars that I really like that I know that don't have cracks or anything in them that I really try to baby. But the ones that do, especially my SG, like it's just the character. There's dings in it.
They're there to fucking use, you know?
They're there to use, you know? They're rock and roll instruments.
So I kind of want to do the thing where I just... I want to start playing guitar again because I've kind of put it down over the past couple years. I've lost my calluses, you know? I want to start playing it again because it's just part of my background and it'd be a good thing to incorporate in what I do.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to do the, you know, just rocking my cheap pawn shop guitar thing, kind of, you know, and just do that bluesy thing where you're just rocking your old cheap guitar, you know.
I think you should rock the red one.
Rock the red one? Yeah, but that one's kind of fucking heavy.
It is heavy.
The other one's lighter.
Yeah, you should definitely bring it here, though. Or let me borrow it for a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Breathe some life back into it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what I did with my SG. I replaced some of the parts on it. Because I let that thing kind of go for a while, and it just...
Now it's rocking.
Now it's rocking, and it's just like, it's a straight-up doomstick.
Yeah.
Straight-up doomstick.
Yeah. Yeah, my guitar needs some love.
Bring them both here. I'll fix them both up. Back into play if you want to get back into guitar.
Yeah. I'm going to start incorporating kind of
build you a fuzz pedal.
Blues guitar into the electronic music again, kind of like with that one EP I did. Kind of tried to just start making something that's a my own sound again. I mean, even that in itself was, you know, a kind of like nice original idea. So kind of like play on that more, you know. I've just been thinking of ways I can try to like make my own, a little bit of my own sound. Just try to do things differently than other people, you know.
I hear you. Yeah.
Like you're supposed to.
Yeah, we're, no, I know the feeling. Yeah. I like your music. I've always enjoyed it. I've always backed you on everything that you did. Went to some fucking crazy ass shows out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh god. The biker bar ones were always the best.
Fall asleep.
I fell asleep a couple times. Yeah. Stayed up a couple times.
It's hard, you know, like especially not being like the person like doing it, you know.
Yeah.
It's like just being on like the outside of it, you know. Sometimes just it gets draining, and
periphery.
It's just like I'm just gonna take a nap.
Yeah.
But I was there. Yeah. I was always awake for your show, for your performances.
God, I can't wait till they come back.
That's gonna be good. We're excited too. We're really excited to start playing again,
dude. I'm gonna appreciate all of them. It's gonna be. Doesn't matter what boofu, cocaine filled biker bar I'm playing. I'm gonna love it every time.
Yeah.
I'm just going to appreciate every one of them.
Yeah, I can't wait till the Waterfall King plays a cocaine fueled biker bar.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be a good time. We're ready for it. I think we're ready for it.
I feel like I'm less ready to play shows now than I've ever been because I've just been out of the loop for so long. Like I was already kind of not liking the way I was playing live and wanting to get better at it, and now I just feel totally out of my element.
Now I think it's probably the best time to reinvent the wheel on the live show.
I know. I'm trying to learn DJ regularly because I don't even know how to DJ. Like I've never been a DJ. It's like I had this stigma against it. Like starting out, I was like, I don't want to be a DJ.
It's yeah,
like,
I think
it's like no one fucking cares. It's like just be able to DJ. It's fine. Like it's a good skill to have. Just do it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's how you want to, just however you want to do it, you know, however you want to do it live. I don't think there's anything wrong with DJing. I think the DJing thing got, I think that term DJing gets swept away by, like, the equivalent of what would be a cover band.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of DJs don't necessarily play, like, original music. They play, like, a select choice of music that isn't theirs, but it's like a blend, like, you know, a good blend of like what they enjoy that keeps like a night flowing, you know, but it's not necessarily their music a lot of the times, I feel like, right? Or maybe I'm wrong. I'm not in that scene quite as much, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're definitely right, but as a versatile artist, I should be able to do both. I should be able to play sets that are just strictly a Blue Future original type of thing. And then I should also be able to just, like, DJ a night as if we were just partying and just drop party bangers that we're all enjoying. Bangers, and I should also be able to do a little in-between, right, where I'm doing both. And since I came up with, like, a stigma against being a DJ for whatever reason, because I was just like, oh, no, I'm a... Because we started as, like, traditional musicians, like, we're writing music, and that's just the way I thought about it. You know, you're writing music and you play it, you know, like I wrote an album and then I started playing that album and then that's just how I started. You know, it's just because that's just what we thought you did.
Right.
And I mean, I guess there's nothing wrong with doing it that way, but because I had a stigma against being a DJ for some reason, I never learned to incorporate that side of it, and it would have been beneficial to be able to do that. You know, it'd just be, like, fun to be able to walk into a party and start dropping a bunch of beats. Doesn't necessarily, you know, whether they're necessarily yours or not, just know and have a feel for what would work good at the time. And, you know, it's just makes you more versatile. You know, it's like I've...
Yeah, sometimes, like, at a party and stuff, people, like, hearing new stuff doesn't get people going.
No, they want to hear some things they know, maybe with a twist on it or this or that, you know.
Right, and then you could throw maybe one of your songs in the middle.
Right. There's definitely a whole art to just being a DJ itself, where you can like read people and the room and the crowd and just actually give them what they want in that moment and
right.
let them have fun, you know. More so than just showcasing shit you made. You know.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks a lot. I'm not a fan of it.
Because sometimes it does kind of feel like I'm forcing what I made down your throat and I'm going to make you like it. You know, it's hard. Because, like, you worked really hard on it and you want people to like it and they don't necessarily know it. So they kind of like it, but they kind of don't know it. It's this weird dynamic.
Yeah. We definitely do not promote our stuff at all, really. Promote this podcast more than I promote the band. I mean, I was for a while, but it's hard to promote, like, the same stuff when we have more stuff coming out. You know, like, those two songs came out, like, a year ago. So it's hard to keep promoting on them.
Well, I would suggest... What you should do is... God, it's probably a lot harder, though. I was going to say, like, try doing something like I'm doing now, where I'm going to try to drop a song every month this year. I mean, even that is a lot of fucking work.
Yeah.
Because you have to get everything lined up for it, get the stuff done in time, even though most of the songs are, you know, have been years in the making and writing, and they're mostly done. But you have to get all your artwork lined up for it. You have to get a promotion plan lined up for it. You have to make sure that the songs and the masters are done themselves, which, you know, if you're working with so if you're depending on other people, can be kind of hard sometimes, because you got to make sure other people are doing their jobs.
Yeah, that's definitely been one of the hardest and most like learning things, I don't know like how you would word that. It's definitely been the hardest and most like educational time doing this. Like, I learned a lot, like, you've known me, like, I made a lot of music by myself for, like, a really long time, not being in a band, and so, and that was a lot of, like, not being able to ever find a band of people to play with, so it was like, well, I had to resort to doing it myself, like, learning all these other instruments, playing the drums, playing the bass, trying to sing, blah, 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 so on.
Which, in a lot of ways, is the best way to do it, because, like, the more you can rely on yourself, the better off you are, but at the same time, you can only do so many things, you're getting stretched too thin.
Yeah, and you're just...
But there is something to be said for, like, literally just having the whole operation...
There's... Yeah, no, it,
done yourself.
I agree, yeah. And but that's, like, the biggest learning thing also, too, is, like, the balance between the two, you know? There's definitely something to be said for someone that could pull it off themselves, but there's also other things where, you know, like, Morian's guitar and voice and his style... He needs something to back it up. You know, he can't play drums while he does that. He can't play bass while he does that. So he needs those other people to, like, do that. And when it all comes together and, like, everyone kind of lets go of the other person's, like, part, it also is pretty cool. And that's something that, like, you know, with... And having him play guitar and all the other instruments has helped me a lot, like, kind of keep things together. Like, I can... read what a guitar player is needing out of the situation, as opposed to like some people that I have played drums with where all they do is play drums and they're just trying to like, I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, some drummers are just fucking crazy. They just like to be loud and bang shit and make noise. And like, you can't do that. Like, that's not how it works. Like, you have to restrain yourself to a degree to let everyone have like a little bit of light so you can create a image that's visible instead of everyone blaring their light.
Appropriately filling the soundscape in like an intelligent way.
And so and having to just do my one part and then now we're having someone else do the recording and I'm taking a step back from all that. It's just been like a really interesting process. And I've learned a lot through it. I've learned like what I want out of someone that is going to be taking over like certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you can't have everything. If you're gonna let go of some things, you're letting go for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have everything, but you can still have a direction on what you want out of it. And, you know, if I were to do this again, it would be like a different, a little bit slightly different of a process, which will hopefully Waterfall King will have an album too. And we can go through that.
Yeah. And it's even more exacerbated when you're a band, because you have that much more shit to deal with, that much more people to make sure, you know, everything's getting done.
Yep.
It's just even harder, because the more people you involve, the harder it gets, because not everyone's going to be doing everything 100% all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
With this album right now, a total of 5 people have been involved. Me, Maureen, and Trevor, our engineer and recording person, mixer, mastering person, Jay, who was on our podcast, first episode of season 2. Check it out. And shout out to Jay at the Garion Studios. He's fucking badass. If you need your shit recorded in a band, reach out to him. And then we had our artist who did the album cover. And the album cover was done, actually, like, way before. We had even started recording.
Yeah, that was, like, the first thing you had.
But I think that it helped solidify that we needed to do it, you know?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, having the album artwork done does help you get the work done. Whether it's, I mean, that can go for a single too, but if you have it to look at, you're just like, I gotta get this done. You know, it does help.
And honestly, we probably would have had this album done like 6 months earlier if it wasn't for COVID. It's like COVID happened and then we stopped being like performing with each other. You know, it's like, well, nobody can leave their house. Everyone's got to stay home. And then, you know, things started slowly being like, okay, we've all been, like, isolated. We can all be with each other because we're not, like, around other people. And, you know, we're here. We're doing the thing. Oh, then Maureen's coworker had COVID, you know. So, like, he can't practice for 2 weeks, you know. So now we're 2 weeks in. There's a half a month. And then Trevor's... Trevor can't practice because same situation. Now we're another 2 weeks ahead, and then we're just normal life stuff in between all of that. Like, you know, everyone has a life, everyone has their own thing. We're all also trying to survive this crazy pandemic and get through day to day. And it's like maybe for one of us, the last thing they want to do is practice. Maybe they want to go outside and just go for a walk, you know, and be with like someone else. You know, there's just a lot of shit happening this last year, and then.
Yeah, it's fucking hard even with everything's going normal, you know.
And then add that on top of it, like, who knows what would have happened. Like, I say we would have been done 6 months earlier, but who knows.
I fucking remember the After Tomorrow LP, you know, which is still, I still love that album a lot. It's like, when I was putting that out, like, my mom was dying of cancer at the time, and I was like sitting in the hospital, like, releasing stuff on my, you know, working on stuff on my laptop, sitting with her while I was putting that out, and then also at the same time working on a EP called Surviving the Times. It was just this weird ass, like, prophetic, like, shit, and, like, you know, but still just like trying to pump shit out, you know,
right,
and still putting it out, even though it's like I couldn't do everything I wanted for it, because it's like also lost my job and like didn't have money to promote it, and like mother's dying all at the same time, you know. It's like, you know, but you're just fucking putting it out still, doing what you can.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. Music, like you said, it's one of the hardest things you can do. You know, there's definitely a lot harder jobs out there. There's a lot more physically demanding jobs. And maybe if you were like an ER doctor or surgeon or something like that, that'd probably be pretty intense. But to become that, I think is definitely a different path and has different emotional tolls on it.
And all that stuff's super subjective too, right? Because like a lot of these other jobs, it's like you can, there's more of a,
with being
like, what we deal with is it's like more personal, and you know, like when things don't work out, it's like a personal affront to you, and like a personal stroke against you, because like you've just directly done something. It just feels like you've directly done something wrong or not good enough, or in such a deep
way where if, I mean, I can only imagine, right? I'm not a doctor, right? But I can, in my regular job, if I don't do something wrong, or if I do something wrong, I feel bad about it, but.
Yeah, no.
That's not what my entire life and being is about, so it's.
Right, I'm just saying, yeah, not, I'd say, and it is apples to oranges. God,
I don't know, maybe it's not, because being a doctor is pretty intense.
Like, a doctor's pretty hard. You know, you got, imagine being an ER
surgeon. A lot of people, like, their whole life is their work. So, like, maybe that is the most important thing, right? Like,
I mean, I would imagine being, like, an ER surgeon and, like, someone dies on your table. That would be pretty emotional, and you would be feel pretty personal horrible. About it.
You'd be traumatized.
Especially if you're trying to do.
It's going to happen multiple times because you're a doctor.
Yeah, and like, if you knew you were doing the right thing. So, I mean, But it's also apples to oranges. But it is the music industry is a hard thing to do, and you know, going like it's really hard, and you know, like what you were going through, like with like when all that was going on with your mom, and still trying to like keep your head above water and make it not even
Jesus fucking Christ. Even now, I mean, my entire life now is different than the last time we were even here doing this.
Yeah, you know? It was like, yeah.
Everything got fucked up in my life since then, you know.
That's true.
But, you know, I'm just trying to make the best of it.
But things change, and, you know, I remember when Doug had passed away, like, I didn't know if I was ever going to play music with, like, people ever again.
Yeah, you were.
And it's like, I wish he was still here today. I wish he was I wish he was able to, like, share this space with us. I don't know what would have happened, like, if he was still alive. Maybe I wouldn't have, like, came to this space, but, you know, life does move on. Yeah. It just takes a long time sometimes.
And at least you guys got to do things together, too, you know, and share just that, you know, for the time that you did get to.
Yeah, you know? One day I'll release that music, but it's just not time yet.
No.
I think I need to... I had to put out a couple things of things that are actually happening.
Yeah.
And then put that out as like a later on, you know, maybe in a couple of years.
My mother never even got to see a show of mine before she died.
But your siblings have.
Yeah.
All of them have.
I don't know. Chelsea. They don't get it or care anyway. My grandmother told me the other day.
Has your grandma seen a show?
I think she has. But literally me and David are down there mastering it. We were booling out for, you know, the weekend and just working on some shit. And grandma came down in the basement to hang out with us for a little while. And, you know, just I don't even know exactly how it happened, but she's just like, "You're never gonna make it with this." You know, it was like the standard, you know, just parent parental figure thing. Like, you can't do this. This is never gonna be your thing. You know, Jesus fucking Christ! Like, thanks for the encouragement. You know, it's like I've only been told that my entire fucking life by like every fucking parental or guidance figure ever. You know? it's just like the way she did it was so like not even meaning to, but just like. You know, she's like 80 years old, 81 years old now. You know, I'm not gonna. She can say whatever she wants. You know.
Yeah, she has the right.
She has the right to say whatever she wants, and I will defend that right because she's fucking 81 years old. But it was just like a little slap to the heart. Like, oh God, like come on, like.
Yeah, that sucks.
It'd be nice if even one person in my entire. Fucking family or growing up life I was ever like, oh yeah, you can actually do what you're working towards, you know, instead it was always just, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's not a thing you can do.
Yeah. I wish I was given more options. I wish I thought about being a luthier sooner and not when I'm almost 30. Which would have been cool, but you know,
or at least one fucking person in your family telling you what, like, you know what? You could be a fucking rock star. Go for it. Just fucking work on it.
Yeah.
You're a badass. Just fucking go for it, you know? Like, it's fucking one person.
Yeah, I mean, we just don't have anybody that's like musically inclined in our family. You know, like if I had, I think, like honestly, if someone had pushed the music thing even slightly, but also pushed like other things in music that you could do to make money,
that would be the intelligent way of doing it. But that requires a lot of understanding of that.
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, you're not going
to be a very specific, like
you're not going to be Metallica or Pretty Lights, but here's a lot of other options you could take down that avenue.
Or like maybe you will be and work towards that, but also here's these other things and other ways to make money while you're, you know.
I wish I would have learned sheet music as a guitarist, because there is money to be made with that. Like, I did very introductory stuff with like the plays. But if I built up my repertoire enough and knew enough sheet music as a guitarist, you know, I could have, like, been on, like, bigger plays. Because there's not a lot of those type of guitarists.
Yeah.
You know, even, like, my music teacher and, like, so my, the, not my music teacher, I'm sorry. I did my musical for Streamwood High School, and the music teacher for Streamwood High School told me that he only knows, like, of two guitar players that play sheet music. And maybe I'm not playing on Broadway or whatever, the Chicago, those theaters, you know. But right. Even just those, like, schools, like, even just as, like, a side thing. Like, say I was a luthier, and then on the weekends, or whenever I wanted to, because I could make my own schedule as a luthier in my own little company.
Right.
I could pick up all these little side gigs doing, like, the theater work.
Well, the thing is that exactly what you're saying now is just, it's true. And there's lots of ways to actually do this, whether or not you're like literally a fucking rock star, but you could be like even a mid-level person and doing these other things, and you have these multiple avenue of incomes, and you can do it. You can fucking do it. You can make a living as a musician or as a mid-tier artist, and you're also doing these other things. You know, you have this combination of things, whether you're doing stuff like that, you know, playing guitar for those types of things, or if you're a producer, you can be, you know, selling beats, selling samples, doing a collection of things that makes you able to actually have like a middle class living. And
yeah,
people do it. There's like a middle class of musicians, and like they do it. You don't have to be, there's not just nobody and then Metallica, nobody and then Pretty Lights, nobody and Bass Nectar, you know. But average people, they just see like, oh, there's nobody, and then they don't understand that there's a middle class of musicians that make it just fine. I mean, they're having a hard time now, but
yeah, but in an almost normal setting
they were doing pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of mid-tier artists that
at least make as much as what I do doing my normal job,
and they don't have to work fucking in a dingy machine shop 8 hours a day like I do, you know.
Or take answering phone calls.
Right, or take answering phone calls. You know, and it is possible. But you just get told that it's not possible, because you get told you're not going to be fucking Metallica, you know, by your parents and shit. And they're the ones who are wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's possible. You know, we don't have to be fucking stuck doing this bullshit our entire lives that we don't necessarily want to do.
But I'm going to bring back to my point of being a luthier. You know a lot of, you have machine skills. You should help me if I get a shop. I have you and one other person that in mind of making it happen.
Yeah, it's, I'd be the best person for you to work with.
You know, just like rent out a CNC machine or however that works, like find a shop where we can borrow, like, you know, give someone money to use their CNC machine.
Could use
or even Joe's,
the place I'm at now, yeah.
To like cut out the guitar bodies.
Yeah.
And then use my dad's garage to like get it to do the rest of the work and start building guitars.
I'd be down to try, at least.
It'd be super dope.
Yeah.
Just to have like a badass instrument you could shred on.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, I made the neck this way because I wanted it that way, or know what to do next time. And then sell it to someone. You know, maybe start off like cheaper, selling them for a lower end, but
yeah. But I could if we wanted to do that, I could definitely do that, like where I'm at. Like, we could, I can machine the bodies or whatever if we needed to. That would not be a problem.
And wood's super easier to work with, I feel like.
Yeah, it's just I'd have to program it differently, but... It's splinters.
Splinters. Yeah, I don't know anything about, like, CNCing wood or cutting wood, but I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn.
One YouTube video away, man.
No, I really wanted to go to, like, luthier school. I want to take...
I just mean for machining wood.
Oh, yeah. Like, I want to take, like, a luthier class and learn all, like, the hand tools, you know, so that I have, like, something to go off of when trying to design something in the future. And then I want to learn electrical engineering so I can make pedals and I can put my guitar pedals in the guitars.
That'd be super good. I'd like that a lot. You still need to make me some badass custom pedals.
I got you. I'm working on it. Yeah. I've kind of put a pause on the guitar pedal thing for a minute just to save up some funds between, like, Christmas and stuff. Like, I kind of spent, like, money to make Christmas happen, you know? And I had to go through all my parts that I already had and take an inventory of them, and I had, like, hundreds of, like, little tiny parts I had to count. And so I just didn't want to do it and kind of put it off for a while. And then the next thing you know, like, it's, like, a month and a half later. So I finally counted all the parts. I took a digital inventory of everything, so now I can order to start making new pedals again. Because, like, what I was doing the last couple of orders, and I started double ordering things that I didn't know that I had. Because, like, I just get the parts and I just put them away, and I'm not, like, keeping track of what I have, you know. And when I order, I try to order a couple extra just in case I break something. You know, if I break a transistor or wire something wrong, I can just, like, cut out that part and use a totally new one and pop it in there. So I try to get a couple extra ones. But I started, like, doing that, like, three times. Like, I ordered a couple extra ones that I already had, like, three times in a row. And I was like, all right, I can't order anything else. I'm spending, like, you know, $50 extra that I don't need to spend. I need to figure out exactly what I have so I can order exactly what I need.
Yeah, you don't want to be wasting your money buying things you already have.
Yeah, and that's just part of, like, the part of the business. Like, you have to have an inventory of what you have, and you don't want to over-order or under-order, you know, because if you under-order, then you can't fulfill the requirements to create the product, and if you over-order, then, like, you just spent all your headroom.
God damn, sounds like you're running a regular business.
And, I mean, I'm trying, like, I'm just trying, I'm not obviously making any money off of it. Well,
I'm just joking, because that's how, like, regular things work, you know?
Yeah, but it's, like, I'm just trying to be in that mindset of it, you know, while putting it together. I did sell one pedal, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I sold one.
Nice.
To the guy that was that came to our house after Albert's birthday, or Albert's the wedding thing.
God, that came to our house after Albert's.
Where we were playing chess,
Chase.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I sold it to him.
I only remember that because we were talking about that earlier today and lame that bachelor party was.
Bachelor party, that's what it is.
Lamest bachelor.
Yeah, Chase was, like, talking about some fuzz on, like, a page that we both follow, and I messaged him. I'm like, hey, if you want a fuzz, like, I'm custom made this one fuzz.
Custom fuzz.
And, it, like, I'll sell it to you, like, $60. It's cheaper than any pedal that you can buy that'll be this quality.
Right.
You know? And, I mean, altogether, like, I probably, like, maybe $10 to $15 is what went into the pedal. Like, how much the actual pedal costs.
Right.
Plus, like, 2 hours of my time. So, like, I did pretty good. But also, I'm not marketing them to, like, sell right now. I'm just kind of, like, making them and giving them to my friends.
It's cool, like, custom fuzz, though. It's good. I like that.
I got you. I'll make you a blue future.
The future fuzz.
I'll put, like, I got to get, like, a PNG of your of a BF.
Give me the future fuzz.
Like a BF, you know what I'm saying?
I want the future fuzz.
I'll give you a future fuzz. Maybe I'll just put future fuzz on there.
Yeah.
And put it in a blue enclosure.
Yes, I want that. Give it to me. Time for a commercial break.
This episode
was brought to you by Monsanto.
But honestly, who dips a chicken wing in the communal hummus?
Yeah, especially like in the green room, and you're not even supposed to be in there, and you know, you're just gonna dip a greasy ass chicken wing into the communal hummus.
Like there's fucking and you're eating the chicken wing.
Yeah. Greasy.
But you didn't even pay for a ticket, you dumb bitch.
Greasy whore mouth all over the chicken wing.
I bought a ticket that night.
Did you?
I did. You offered to, like, get me in for free, but I wanted to, like, put the money towards
the thing, right?
To the thing to make your outcome better, because I knew you were already having a lot of people come for free, and I didn't want to be, like
almost everybody.
I didn't want to be, like, that other person, you know? Which, you know, it's
admirable.
Yeah, you know? Like, when people pay for, like, you know, I'd like to get everyone into my shows for free just to have people there, too. But, you know, I wanted to do what I can to put your mark for Bourbon on Division and just, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Where now it's all going to be totally different now coming back.
Yeah, right. Fucking shit. Well, cheers.
Cheers, bro. I want to ask you, before we get into the Alamo, because we'll get into that. I want to ask you some questions as being the first person.
Oh, please.
Hold on, we'll take this shot. The first person being on the show twice.
Sweet.
Should I have something where I can have sound effects happening in real time for us both to hear?
Yeah. Like you don't want to overuse it, but the option's always good.
And then, do you think I should have the TV hooked up with some internet and some YouTube?
I would say yes if it was. God, I wish we had a Jamie. You know,
I mentioned that, I think, in the last podcast. No, in the one before that. Like, hey, Jamie, could you look that up for me?
I think it would.
I also said earlier that I don't have a producer.
I think it would be a good thing to do, because if you do want to look something up, even if it takes a second, you can look it up and then you have it right there and both people can see it.
For everyone to read.
You know, just for reference.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start doing that from now on.
Yeah.
Hook it up and then I can pull the laptop closer to me and just have it right here and have my phone with the internet on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a very professional setup, but it's okay. This is this is Rock and Roll Podcast, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We were supposed to do mushrooms this time. We didn't do mushrooms.
No, that'll have to be the third time.
Yeah.
You'll have to be on. You'll be on in episode 30.
Episode 30.
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting up there already.
Well, this is episode 14.
Nice.
I mean, it's just like double what I just did, yeah. Even after a hiatus. I feel good. Like, I want to shoot for, like, 100.
Well, you're already 10% of the way there.
10% of the way. A little bit more
15%
than
15% of the way.
14%.
14%.
Yeah. I'd like to get to 100 and see where it's at. I think that's my goal.
Just keep doing them.
And I'm just releasing them as I do them. You know, maybe I'm going to do them in maybe like spurts. Because like I did like a good chunk and then took a break and then maybe do another chunk. And maybe in between each chunk upgrade what I'm doing a little bit. Like right now, this upgrade from here, there's an intro now. I don't know if you've listened to any of the podcast. But I showed you the intro.
You showed me the intro, yeah.
But yeah, there's an intro now. So that's like season two shit. We got an intro. And then maybe like midway season two. Right now, this is like, I think the episode after this, maybe midway season two. I'll have a TV to pull shit up on YouTube and the internet and Google. And then
season two, POV.
Maybe season two finale, I'll have sound effects. I don't know. But I'm working on it. I would like season three to have video. And I've brought this up in other podcasts, so I'm sorry for anyone listening that I'm talking about the same shit again. And it's not happening, and you're like, dude, this guy talks a lot of fucking shit and doesn't do anything. Just keeps talking shit with his random friends. But I would like to have video, like three cameras set up. But once getting into that, I need to have a producer or someone like Jamie, who's the producer, doing it, you know?
You think so? Yeah.
And, probably. And I just don't know. I don't know if I can rely on anyone like that.
Probably not.
If you're listening and you are that person, message me. You can email me, tapeworm.podcasts@gmail.com. Worm is a U instead of an O. Tapeworm.podcast.com. podcast@gmail.com, or maybe it's podcast. I don't know. Try both of them. You can CC podcast while you send it to podcasts.
For the love of God, you probably know us. Just talk to us.
I mean, people have, like, offered it, but, like, I don't know how serious they are. And, like, this is such an impromptu thing a lot of the times that it would be hard to, like, have someone else.
Impossible.
And to, like, switch the cameras while I'm trying to, like, do it might be hard.
Yeah. That's what would be hard.
Like, if I had one fixed camera, it would be a lot less interesting than having three cameras. Because you want to have, like...
Otherwise, you would have to, like... You would have to watch both feeds afterwards and then
do it. Yeah, you'd have to do it. Yeah, it'd have to be live for sure.
It'd be work.
And you need, like, at least three. Like, you need one for your guest, one for you, and then one for the wide shot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think you're better off not worrying about... Just not worried about video for now.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. But it's just a whole other layer of...
Yeah, it's like another $1,000.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. Episode 100. Maybe we'll have video by episode 100.
Probably, by then. Yeah.
It depends on how this goes. Like, I'm just kind of shooting in the dark. Like, I've gotten a lot more positive feedback doing the podcast than anything I've ever done.
Really?
Yeah, you know, like, the band, you know, sometimes a lot of people are like, oh, that's cool or whatever. But I feel like people it's easy to hype a song or, like, a band and not even listen to it. You know what I'm saying? But when people, like, have come to me and saying specific things that are, like, halfway through the podcast or towards the end of the podcast, it shows me that they're actually listening to it.
Yeah, I've heard other people say that about their podcasts too, that they like really appreciate when people actually listen to their podcasts, like almost even more so than their music sometimes, because it's like, well, you're like really listening and getting to know something I'm actually talking about, you know,
getting to know me and who the people I associate myself with and who I talk to and who I want to talk to.
Yeah.
And who those people are, they're learning who those people are, and it's interesting. Like, and it's been unexpected, the people that have said things to me and what they have said about it, you know, and that's
cool.
It's what has kept me doing this, because it is very easy to get discouraged with something, especially like listening to like a conversation. It's like some of these podcasts are like generally an hour long, and for someone to listen to something for at least 30 to 40 minutes of it and then tell me something within that, like you know, not something like in the first 10 minutes, you know, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, you know, you guys talked about this in the first 10 minutes, but like to have someone tell me something specific that happened that I don't even remember, then I'm like, it's nice. I enjoy it.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Yeah.
So I appreciate anyone that's listening. We got Blue Future here, Tapeworms Volume 14. Jeremy Olson.
Fuck yeah.
So, remember the Alamo.
Remember the Alamo. I'll take a shot to everything you just said.
Woo. I actually think we need to
toke a little bit.
Ooh.
Dude, I really am scared of solar flares, though. Like, that shit scared the fuck out of me. Like, it's so possible. It's like, out of all the things to be afraid of, like, that one's up there.
I feel, it's
so possible. It's a compound of things, right? We're in the right time frame. Like, say we live for another 50 years, right?
Okay.
Distinct possibility of solar flare in another 50 years, because that's been 200 years since there's been a solar flare. Distinct possibility. And if even one happens, we're fucked. Even if it's, like, a little one, we're still, like, fucked.
What if it happens and it's not as bad as you think?
Well, that'd be great. But... The thing is we get multiple of them. Yeah.
we get all different levels of solar flares, right? There's been like lesser solar flares that we've gotten since then that have only knocked out like power grids in like certain areas. I think there was one like the 90s or 2000s or something that knocked out the grid in like Canada, but it didn't fuck us up here because it was only Canada, and Canada just kind of figured it out pretty quickly. But I'm talking about the level of one that would, like, the serious level of one. And it's not that, which really isn't even that big. It's just big enough to fuck up our electronics, right? That level of one happens almost like clockwork about every 100 years. It's like, that's fucked up. It's scary.
It is pretty scary.
It's very scary. But, like I was saying, it just kind of makes me grateful that every day it doesn't happen.
Well, let's hope. Today is February 8th. This podcast comes out March 2nd. And if you're hearing this, congratulations.
You fucking made it.
You've made it really far. You made it,
and you should feel lucky every goddamn day. Because everyone that we get, we're lucky.
You could hear this podcast, and it could be very well be the last thing that you hear. And to that, I'm sorry.